This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm visiting with Max Booth, the author of a new biography of Ronald Reagan, his life and legend. The late Reagan administration is troubled in all directions for foreign policy. Domestic policy seems to be on overdrive. We have Max mentions a number of books that were popular in the 1980s. I'd forgotten about them. Less than Zero, I'd forgotten that was the 1980s. And I mention all of that because we come to the departure of Ronald Reagan from the White House. I can remember seeing a video of the helicopter flying away. So I wanted to review some of his most famous statements and where they came from. Honey, I forgot to duck. Where did he get that, Max? Did he make it up at the spot?
I think it was an old Hollywood movie line that he quoted at the exact right moment.
To Nancy Reagan. And the one about...
Oh, actually, it wasn't a movie line. I think it was a boxing line. It was Jack Dempsey, I think, or some other boxer in the 1920s who said that after losing a fight.
Ash Heap of History. Was that Reagan original?
Yeah, that was from the 1983 Westminster Address. I think that was Reagan repurposing communist rhetoric against the Soviet Union.
Yes, it magnified the expectations. And there you go again. Is that Reagan original at the one and only debate with Mr. Carter?
That was a Reagan original, yes.
And, of course, I love the remark he makes about Alzheimer's as the diagnosis has been made clear to him. He cared a great deal about what happens to Nancy. Post-presidency, he moved into an office where he remained as pleasant as ever, always looking on the bright side of things. And he had a chance to reflect. I think you make a distinction, Max, between the book that Nancy Reagan wrote and the book that Ronald Reagan wrote. And I get the impression, having never read either of them, that Nancy Reagan's book can be helpful, but Ronald Reagan's is not to a biographer such as yourself. Is that correct? There were no details in there worth repeating.
Well, no, I think you're referring to their diaries. Nancy Reagan's diary, she used it to write her memoir and then destroyed it. So nobody has read it. The Reagan diary, Ronald Reagan's diary, was published, and it was useful. I mean, no question about it, because it was a day-by-day recounting of his presidency, but it was not very deep or reflective. It was really basically him taking his daily schedule and offering a few thoughts on, but everything was great and grand and good, and he was just such a relentlessly upbeat person that there was not much psychological insight to be found from it, or very limited psychological insight to be found from his diary, I guess I would say.
That makes you into a detective, Max. That's how I thought of you in reading the book. You had a case, you knew where it was going, but you had to walk the cat backwards to the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, Reagan was somebody where even Nancy Reagan said that part of him was walled off even from her, and his closest aides said that he was very hard to know. So it's definitely a major challenge for any biographer.
Genial and aloof. And that was a term that everybody understood about Ronald Reagan. But no one complained, genial and aloof. And I puzzle now that you can reflect on this enormous amount of work you've done. Was that from the childhood? Was that because he'd learned to, as an actor, to turn his emotions on and off depending on the part? Where did he first understand that that was a defensive mechanism that would always serve him?
Well, I trace it back to his childhood, where, you know, again, he didn't really get close to the other kids because they were moving all the time because his father kept losing one job after another. He didn't want people to know about his dad's drinking. And so he was kind of aloof from everybody, kind of erected this mental wall around himself. And what I figured out is that, you know, he certainly came across as genial, but his anecdotes and stories, his jokes and quips, they were actually a way to keep people at a safe remove. He kept conversations at a very superficial level and never delved deep with anybody, didn't even know what was going on with his kids' lives, for example, or his aides. But, you know, everybody was happy to spend time with him.
His own memory, I think I have this right, Max. His own memory of what he achieved was the economic recovery of the first term, and the morale of the United States. Let's deal with economic recovery. I don't have the statistics in front of me. They're in Max's book. But the recovery is largely salesmanship. I mean, it was okay coming out of a recession, but it wasn't what we remember today through the fog of history, which is the spectacular growth of the 1980s. I believe you make the case that it's happened before.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at economic growth rates during the Reagan presidency, they were actually pretty similar to the Nixon administration, not only a tiny bit higher than Carter and below that of the Bill Clinton administration. But his political timing was exquisite because there was a severe recession from 1981 to 1983. But by the time Reagan was running for re-election in 1984, growth shot up to 7% that year, and then it fell back down to earth. But it was that towering economic performance in 1984 that allowed him to win 49 states.
Luck, you mentioned luck. He was a very lucky politician. Or did he take advantage of where he had luck and walked away from where he didn't? How do you see it, Max?
I think he was a very lucky politician, but he also made his own luck and figured out how to take advantage of it. And you know, the fact that, you know, the economic recovery, I think a lot of it was due to Paul Volcker, and the chairman of the Fed, who raised interest rates to take the inflation out of the economy. But Reagan supported Volcker, which was not easy to do. And there was a lot of political blowback, and his popularity plunged in 1982. The Democrats won the midterm elections, but he stayed the course and, you know, received the political rewards in 1984.
I tell the story that Max tells about one of the early weeks in the White House when he went into the Oval Office, the first day or second day. The Resolute desk that the president sit behind, it was made out of timbers from a famous ship. But Ronald Reagan had a chair, I believe from California.
Right.
And when he sat in his chair, because he's a tall man, he couldn't get his knees under the desk. He didn't complain. He sat sideways. It wasn't for some days or weeks, I can't remember which, Max, until somebody recognized that they could lift the desk up and make it 2 inches higher. Did he ever comment on that, Max, that the desk now fit him as it hadn't before? Who did this?
Maybe he did. I'm not aware of it. But that's really an example. That was one of the secrets of his success. He was so modest, so unassuming, so undemanding. He was, you know, a hard guy to hate, basically. And even people who disagreed with his policies had to grudgingly say that they liked Reagan personally because he had such a winning personality. And, you know, despite all of his success, he always remained very down to earth.
And the great communicator, was he comfortable with that as a way of remembering him?
I think he was, although it sometimes had a sliding inference to suggest that he was just a guy who read a script, which wasn't the case at all. He often wrote his own scripts. And, you know, one of his great lines was he was asked, you know, he said, you know, some people say they can't understand how an actor can be president. I don't understand how anybody but an actor could be president. And he certainly understood how to use the bully pulpit better than just about anybody who has ever occupied the office.
The book is Reagan, His Life and Legend. Max Boot is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.